Hi, this is Mary Ann Murphy with Floor Coverings International, and you're about to tune in with Jack Monson and Deb Evans with Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Franchise Foundry and Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Monson.
This is Deb Evans coming to you live. This is Social Geek Radio, and I am president of Franchise Foundry and so excited again to be here.
And I'm Jack Monson with Minolto Inc. How are you doing today, Deb?
I'm so good. How are you? I'm trying to keep my level down. You know, my excitement is always full energy, ready to go, can't wait for the show. So, but I'm trying.
I think you're more excited about the Periscope Summit that you're going to later in New York City.
Yeah, well, you know, sure. It's all good.
So everyone look forward to the internet and Periscope specifically breaking sometime Thursday or Friday of this week as hundreds or thousands of Periscope junkies all get together and scope the same thing at the same time.
And I loved what a Periscope community is a Facebook page, and they said it is the week where all the red dots get together. So if you ever do Periscope, you see all those little red dots on the map, you know, and they're all those little pins are going to be merging into, you know, New York City, of course, along with the Pope, but that's okay. You know, the Pope's going to be at one end of the city. We are going to be at the other end of the city. So all good.
Maybe the Holy Father will stop by. You know, with this guy, I really wouldn't doubt it.
This is true. This is very true. I'm surprised he hasn't scooped yet, or maybe he has and I've missed it. I don't know how it would, but yeah, he tweets.
I believe he is the first Pope who's tweeted, so I'm sure at some point he will do some scoping. So excellent. Well, when you get back, I want to get a full rundown of what everyone's doing on Periscope, and specifically what people are doing from a brand perspective. You know, how are people using these scopes and these videos that they then upload to other places to tell their story for their brand? You know, what are they doing content marketing wise? That's what's really of interest to me. So I'm sure you'll gather a lot of cool stuff there.
I will. And on that note, in our subject of content marketing, we have as our guest today Paul Segreto, CEO of Franchise Foundry, who's going to help us with that and that conversation. So how are you doing, Mr. Segreto?
Doing well. It's a beautiful day and to a new era in what I believe is content marketing. And I think just a few heading up to the Periscope conference it's just this big push into this new era of technology enhanced marketing, which I really believe is something that's going to take us to new levels.
That's an interesting idea of technology enhanced marketing. I like the way you put that. It seems like new technologies come around like Periscope or Meerkat or some of the others, and it seems like we're still in this area where the technology advances, and then it sort of pushes all of us to up our game a bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It forces us to really be multidimensional. You know, I've mentioned in the past what I believe is the old way of marketing is kind of like a tic-tac-toe board. You know, four lines, nine spaces. Win, lose, or draw, you move on and you do it again. And if you think in the terms of direct mail, it's very much like tic-tac-toe. You design a piece, you mail it out to an audience, you sit there for a few days, and you monitor the returns. And if you get your, you know, 1 to 1.5% return, you say, okay, that's good, I won, let me try it again. Let me make it a little bit better. Sometimes it comes in at 0.7%. You say, yeah, really didn't win, didn't lose, really don't know. Let me change it up a little bit. Or you get horrible results and you say, well, let's do something else. So to me, technology-enhanced marketing is really the tic-tac-toe board on steroids, so to speak. It's a Rubik's Cube. and you can keep twisting it and turning it and looking at it from different angles, and maybe you get five whites on one side and four greens on another, and you twist it around and say, I want seven there, and you just keep moving along, and just like, you know, playing Rubik's Cube, you really don't lose. You either quit, which many people do in marketing, or you win, but you can't lose unless you stop and you quit. So it's really an interesting time, I believe.
Absolutely. And when we're talking about content marketing, let's take a step back and let's go into a little bit about what you see as the definition of content marketing, and then sort of specifically for franchise systems that you're so involved in.
Well, you know, content marketing to me is the opposite of the in-your-face disruptive marketing that we've all grown up with, and a lot of that actually, you know, lends towards, you know, advertising. You know, content marketing is, you know, information. It's information that's put out there to have your candidate, or in franchise candidate, or a consumer latch onto. And it enhances the brand and the people putting out the information, if it's specifically from an individual. It enhances them to new levels. It takes them to new levels because it is being able to, okay, so it enables them to take the information they're sharing to a new level, as opposed to a quick marketing piece or a quick advertising piece. So it allows the reader to really go deep, or in many cases the viewer, because again, we talked about technology enhanced marketing, and with Periscope and YouTube and some of the other audiovisual features that are out there. You know, it allows the viewer, the listener, the reader to really get an in-depth understanding of what they're trying to say, and then of course what takes it either, because I believe content marketing is really the overshadowing umbrella of a lot of different types of marketing. It allows them to see this come at them from a lot of different ways, which are marketing. So in the Periscope, some content out there in Periscope, and then of course it winds up on YouTube, it winds up on Facebook, it's shared across LinkedIn, it's tweeted and what have you. So going to the old adage that a message needs to touch somebody, you know, six or seven times before they start to make a decision. In today's instant gratification society, who's got time to do that over a long period of time and touch them six or seven times? So with today's technology-enhanced marketing, it allows them to be touched multiple ways. It builds credibility, and the touches are also done very spontaneously.
Yeah, and I often wonder if a few years from now we'll discover that magic number of being touched six or seven times due to the level of noise and, you know, this rising tide lifting all ships, that number is actually going to grow and to effectively reach someone and have some sort of engagement with them and for them to recognize your brand. It won't be six or seven times. It's probably going to be 12 or 14 times or even more. So the fact that you're talking about accelerating the marketing using this enhanced technology means that you know, basically we're just staying ahead of the wave, right? You know, if right now we can use these technologies to hit someone eight times, well, a year from now we may need to reach them 15 or 16 times, and I'm not sure how big this scale is going to get, but I think you're spot on when you're talking about just sort of staying ahead of, quite frankly, staying ahead of other brands, staying ahead of the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unlike yesterday's marketing, where the marketing message was very specific, very disruptive, you know, come in and buy type of thing, or getting them to a phone number like Crazy Eddie's did you know, back in the 70s, you know, 645-1196. I'll never forget that phone number, but it was so disruptive. It was so in your face. I couldn't imagine seeing that, you know, getting hit with that 12 times. We got hit with that, you know, over and over. With this, it's more informational. It's more educational. It's more out there for people to go, oh, didn't realize that. Oh, now I'm seeing this here. And they start putting together, and it really lends towards the customer experience, the experience of the target audience. It's part of that experience that allows them to look at this more than a marketing message. This is a brand message. This is all about the brand. And, of course, when you take that into the social space, in essence, what's happening is your target audience virtually gets to stand shoulder to shoulder with every stakeholder in the organization. In franchising, that could be franchisees, could be franchisee employees, franchisor staff, suppliers, the board of directors, vendors, franchise attorneys, etc. It's every stakeholder gets an opportunity to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and see what the message is and communicate further within that messaging to enhance that messaging. So really you have the enhancement in the messaging itself, and then of course you further enhance it by the technology that's utilized. So when you look at, in my estimation, when you look at content marketing, there's really three things that fall under that. And it's influencer marketing, it's attraction marketing, and then of course I've already mentioned integrated marketing, and it all falls under that umbrella of content marketing.
And all of those work for a franchise system specifically. When we're talking about marketing for franchise sales development, and also when we're talking about marketing for consumers. And I think, to me, it feels like that gets lost sometimes, where there are so many marketing folks within franchise systems that are so focused on selling more franchises that consumer marketing part of it seems to sort of get put on the back burner. Do you see that happening at times?
Big time, especially since some of the programs that we've developed at under a brand name called Accelerated Digital Strategies at Franchise Foundry includes the social space. And obviously when you're in the social space, it's very difficult to silo out what's a consumer message, what's a franchise development message. And quite frankly, why would you silo them out? And yet when I present these proposals to some of the bigger brands, they say, well, that's all fine, but we don't want anything to do. We don't care if it helps, you know, the franchisees, from the standpoint that right now only we care about is driving leads for franchise development. And I say, you know, you can't put up those walls. And on top of it, why would you want to miss out on organic type of, you know, local level franchise development marketing? I mean, you know, we look back to early stages of franchising. And of course, we lost a great leader in Fred DeLuca, co-founder of Subway last week. And the story is about Subway, because early stage franchise development efforts from Subway were driven by the 800 number on the cup and the 800 number on the napkin. And I don't know what the exact numbers are. I mean, I've heard anywhere between the first 500 to 1,000 franchise sales were directly attributed to that. But what that means is what people are missing is they look at that as the marketing message. But it really was an extension of the experience, because they were in the store, they look at the cup and they look around and they say, wow, this sandwich tastes great. I love the look at this place. Look at this bright yellow that's in here. I could see myself doing that. I'm going to copy down this phone number and I'm going to call them and request some information. And people today lose sight of that. It is about the experience. We hear too many franchisors complain about, you know, portal marketing doesn't work. This type of marketing doesn't work. And it's all that old way of doing it that does nothing to do with the experience. this is all about riding the experience, enhancing the experience, or creating an experience. That's the key with this type of marketing today.
And, you know, with that type of marketing too, and you're talking about the experience with the technology that we have available to us, I don't see enough franchise brands utilizing that customer experience, you know, whether it's, you know, videos or Periscope or video testimonials. I think it's missing in a lot of brands, and they're not taking advantage of the opportunities they have with the technology that's available.
You couldn't be more spot on that way in that comment, Deb, because too many of them, and I'll take it a step further, all of them, I'll go out and look at this type of marketing and marketing today still as a line item. It is no longer a line item. This is the way of doing business. This is no different than the necessity of paying taxes. It need touch every stakeholder in the organization, and it can't be left alone to the marketing department. This has to do with the legal department. This has to do with the franchise sales and development department. It has to do with operations, support, and training. It has to do with every department. This is the way organizations need to communicate. No different than looking at the telephone when it was first introduced into a business setting. When somebody was with a customer and the phone rang and they said, oh man, this damn phone. I mean, it's such an interruption. It's so disruptive. Until they figured it out, that phone was very useful and beneficial to generate business and also to communicate with their customers. I mean, too many times we hear about, you know, generating leads, but they don't look at the added benefits that this is also a tool to communicate and to spread a message around and to enhance that customer experience. It's all one and the same.
Paul, what franchisors are doing content marketing really well these days? And also maybe what sorts of trends are you seeing with franchisors and all types of digital marketing?
So one franchisor that I think is starting to do this well is Tutor Doctor. And the reason Tutor Doctor pop up on my screen is because, you know, like all of us that are in this digital space, we have alerts out there about our brands and about our names. And just recently, my name popped up in a Google alert, and I clicked on it, and I was in a Tutor Doctor blog. And they actually took my article that was published in entrepreneur.com, and they shared parts of that article, giving me, obviously, you know, credit for the article and Entrepreneur credit, but then they embedded it into their own blog post. So they were able to get various links, they were able to give credit where credit was due, and they were able to support and enhance the message they were putting out there. And it had to be, it was a message about franchising, entrepreneurship, and millennials. So now they took that and then they spread it out across social media. So they touched people six or seven different ways by taking content, and it wasn't even unique content to them, obviously. It was content that I had put out there. So,
but it was obviously content that they felt was appropriate and relevant for their target demographic.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah, and what really prevents a lot of brands from doing this is they feel the necessity of always having to put out unique content. And in this case,
yeah,
they did have a somewhat unique message in there, but then they utilized other content, and there's ways to do it. But it's a matter of living in the space and being able to grab content from a lot of different places and aggregate some of it, build community with these individuals so that now you get even more content and you're sharing content, and it's all part of it. But it's hard to put that down as a line item because It's all based on the wave of what's being published out there at that specific time that's relevant to your target. You know, that's another thing, Jack, that you and I talk about, you know, quite a bit about target audiences. There is not a one-size-fits-all strategy here. It has to be for that target audience. If the franchisor is targeting transitioning executives, the messaging that they put out there for training executives is going to be different if they're trying to attract moms returning to the workforce. Mm-hmm. And they might both be ideal candidates for their brand, but in the past, they've always had that same message and something gets lost. Today, it does have to be a unique message specific to the target audience.
And I think what you're talking about there, too, is multiple unique messages, because you may have multiple groups, like the examples you gave that you're going after. Well, you've got to have specific messages for both of them.
Absolutely.
And wouldn't you add one other element to that? The messages have to apply to the certain, and you're talking about digital platforms. You know, a message that you're going to put on Facebook may vary a little bit to your Twitter audience or to your Periscope audience. So you've got to remember too that the platforms that you're using to post these messages on, you can't just use a, you know, sometimes you can't just use the software and say post this message to everywhere. You know, you may need to tweak it a little bit.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest, probably most glaring mistakes I see is when a brand page puts out a message and the message said starts with I went to so-and-so event. Well, the brand is not a person.
Right.
So I see that all the time, and that's one of the biggest glaring mistakes. So, yeah, you have to target it to the platform, to the audience, and the messaging has to be appropriate.
Paul, in the few minutes we have left, let's talk about some things that some franchisors that are just sort of sticking their toe in the water of content marketing might consider doing. What sort of advice would you give someone who's just really starting out in this area?
So the first thing I would say is, of course, just do it. But to that point, make a commitment and make it a long-term commitment. Don't go, you know, with a full-blown effort and then after 2 weeks say, nah, this isn't working, and decide to change. It really comes down to developing the ideal targets, whether it be from a consumer proposition or a candidate proposition. Find out what messages you really want to give out there and what actions you want to see those individuals to take so that they can move into your, unquote, sales funnel. Sometimes it requires, you know, sub-strategies. You know, the key here is look for ways to stand out, to separate the brand from others, and more importantly, look at the technology that you could use to enhance your delivery of message. And realize this is not one size fits all. And I think more importantly to end this advice would be to, or to put a final point on the advice would be to say, get everybody in your organization involved. You know, coming at it from different perspectives really would help as well.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in the franchise space, maybe outside of our topic of today of content marketing and digital strategies. Any big trends you're seeing for the rest of this year or as we start approaching 2016?
I think the biggest trend that I've been seeing and I've been seeing it gain some speed coming out of the big financial debacle of 2008 to 2012 is the move towards sensible franchising, one that focuses on the franchisee's success, the improvement, and continue to fortify unit economics, and have stronger operators for the brand to succeed, even going out into other brands to find multi-unit operators as they look to diversify their own investment and operating portfolios. I think that the key comes down to the local level, you know, making sure the franchisees succeed so the system can continue to grow. And I think as that's achieved, we will see less of an aggressive attack from governmental agencies on the franchise model. That's important, and I'm glad to see that franchising as a whole is moving towards sensible franchising with a focus on unit economics and franchisee success.
Excellent.
You know, one of the things that, Paul, I want you to make sure that we share with the audience, too, is that, you know, we're talking franchising, and you have relaunched Franchise Today with some, you know, great upcoming guests. I know Mark Liston was your guest last week and did an awesome job, and your co-host, Stan Freeman. Anything you want to share with us so that the audience of Social Geek Radio can now calendar and put on their radar to tune in to your podcast of Franchise Today?
I appreciate that opportunity. You know, we started out, the show is relaunched for its seventh year, myself and Stan Freeman as co-hosts. And it is about sensible and practical, sustainable franchising. And our first guest was Mark Liston from the Dwyer Group, because we were talking about culture. And then the second guest this week is Brian Summers from Jersey Mike's. And next week, our guest is Josh Wall from Christian Brothers. And it was interesting as I sat back and I said, you know, all three of these brands are on the forefront of their industry segments, and all three really have unit economics and sustainability in mind for their franchisees and culture. And even though we were going to go to a couple of different topics, the topic is going to continue to be culture for the foreseeable future. So that's Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time. And this week, Brian Summers. Next week, Josh Wall from Christian Brothers.
Nice. Very good. Making me hungry for a Jersey Mike's now.
Yeah, those are some great brands you've got coming up, Paul. So, in closing, what's the best place for someone to carry on this conversation if they've got some questions for you about content marketing or maybe even just some other franchise-related marketing or operational topics? What's the best way for someone to reach out to you and start a conversation?
Yeah, there's multiple ways. I think the worst way might be smoke signal, but as we get sure with that, maybe that would be a good way. But really, on at Paul Segretto on Facebook, multiple pages there, Franchise Foundries page, and of course on LinkedIn. If you use Periscope and you want to send me a message there, I'm sure I'll get it there as well. Or Deb and I both will. So, yeah, really, anyway, there is no preference. Or, you know, paul@franchisefoundry.com if you prefer to use email.
Excellent. Well, we will be tuned in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Central Time on Franchise Today. You can find that online live, or you can download it from iTunes, as I like to do, Franchise Foundry with Paul Segretto and Stan Freeman, and you can find Paul in any of those places, including LinkedIn. And if you can't find Paul Segretto on LinkedIn, then your Wi-Fi must not be working.
So. This is true. Very
so,
good,
Paul. Thanks so much. I hope some of our listeners will take up your offer to have a conversation with you and chat a little bit further about today's topics in any of those places. And once again, thanks for returning and joining us again here on Social Geek Radio today.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I'll leave you with one parting comment. You know, content is king, but it's what you do with the content that makes the kingdom. Thanks, Jeff, Deb. Thanks, Jack.
Very good. Thank you.
Very nice. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thanks for joining us,
everybody.
Have a great
night, everybody.